it's the Southside's own Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
There's a blast deep into the night, and a two-run homer for Baez.
And there it goes. Abreu massacres this ball to left center field.
Donna goes in motion left. Snap it to Michelle. He's running to the left. Angling. 25-20. Got a block for Brown. 50. 10. 5. Touchdown. 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 Don't win it. We're headed to Atlanta.
Trubisky's going to run it. And he is going to get a first down. How about Trubisky to the 42-yard line? Oh, my goodness.
In the ring. Steamboat's got him up. A slam. McClaren inside Crane. 1-2. He did it. He did it. Steamboat's leg muscle. And McClaren has done it. McClaren has done it.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
What's up and welcome in. You're listening to Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. We'll open phone lines for you at 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is the telephone number. Hit me up on Snapchat, SnapJHood, also on Instagram, IGJHood, as we broadcast live from our First Midwest Bank Studios. On the program tonight, we will hear from NBA veteran and analyst for the Chicago Bulls and NBC Sports Chicago, Kendall Gill. He'll be with us coming up at 7:30 at the bottom of the hour. Alex Brown from NBC Sports Chicago will get his thoughts. A former Bear, he played in the Super Bowl. I remember that. Just like it was yesterday. Bears against the Colts. Alex Brown's going to be with us coming up at 8:10. His thoughts about the Super Bowl matchup and his memories of being in the Super Bowl with the Chicago Bears. Tales from the Hood, stories of sports, entertainment, everything else in between. You never know. I've not seen the stories. I usually get those right there at the 8:25, and I get a chance to peruse them. So it's always, if it's a surprise to you, it's a surprise to me. At 8:30 for Tales from the Hood. Also, oh, why didn't you remind me, Davis? Why didn't you tell me what day it is? I didn't know until I came in here. Oh.
TBT, baby.
Thanks for stealing the thunder. Appreciate that. Thanks so much. Thanks for the buildup. That's restaurant quality there. Yes, as Sean has just revealed to us all, he's supposed to tell me what day it is. He tells me it's TBT day, so that means back. Oh.
The throwback. Let's go back.
The throwback. Let's go back.
Throwback Thursday. Never mind, Eric. It's over now. Hear that in our non-soundproof window that we have here, that bulletproof window. So Throwback Thursday at 9 o'clock every Thursday. Yes, Davis is supposed to text me to remind me what day it is. And he reminds me that it's TBT. Indeed it is. We got a special one for you, a good one for you. It is Super Bowl related, and we'll tell you about it coming up at 9 o'clock right here on ESPN 1000. Doug Glanville will be with us. We have Doug Glanville on now on January 31st because we won't be able to find him in April. So we're going to talk to him now because that man is busy. He's writing books. He's got family. He's on NBC Sports Chicago. So we're taking care of the Peacock tonight with our guest list. So Doug is going to be with us getting his thoughts because there's still – that's our hot stove segment we've got at 9:30 because there's still – we still don't know what's happening with Harper and Machado. There is some insight, though, about the Harper side of things. We'll get into that with Doug Glanville coming up at 9:30. And plenty of time for your thoughts as well. 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. As we told you yesterday, check on a loved one today because we know I would say that hope you had a great Thursday, but some of you did not based on the weather that's out here. And for those of you listening to us, because for some people this is your drive time show out west. For those of you listening in California, and we have listeners in Nevada and in Oregon in the Pacific time zone. Yeah, it's as bad as you think. But you know what? We're okay. We're hanging in there, and we hope that, if nothing else, for those of you in the Midwest, just text or call a loved one. Make sure that they're okay during this very difficult time, because, yeah, it is tough. But we're making it. We're all right. We still got a heartbeat, and we're going to entertain you here for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. So we got a lot of stuff here, and it's a lot of moving parts because we didn't know. We know the Super Bowl is the number one story, right? But what about the Super Bowl? So we got that. We got some other things going on in the NBA we're going to get to this half hour into Kendall Gill at 7:30. Okay, so on my sheet, on my guest sheet, I see here, is there a lack of buzz for the Super Bowl? Why? Pat's fatigue, Rams don't belong. That's like one, two. There's a fourth thing on my topic sheet here for tonight. And so I start thinking about this, right? I start thinking about, is there a lack of buzz for the Super Bowl? And I would tell you, no, I don't think there's a lack of buzz for the Super Bowl. Here's what I would tell you. I would tell you that if you're looking for some kind of drama with the Super Bowl, you're not getting it from either side. When we talk about lack of buzz, is there someone chirping more so than it, someone else? Outside of Rob Gronkowski and his craziness and talking about the number 69, you're not getting a lot from the Patriots side. It's business as usual. They came off the flight with ties and shirts and suits and dress shoes. And the Rams came off in like their Rams gear, like their sweatpants and their sweatsuits. And so there's a dichotomy between both of those teams. The Rams, not necessarily happy to be there, but just the idea that they have an opportunity here to do what the Eagles did last year and to knock off the New England Patriots. I think that from my standpoint, when we see Tom Brady and we see Bill Belichick, and we see both of those guys on the sideline, you could either go one of two ways. You could say, I hate those guys because they win so much. Or you could be a grown-up like I am and say, these are all teams are always in the mix. The Belichick-Brady teams are always in the mix or right there in the big game with an opportunity to win the Super Bowl. And for me, I don't diss greatness. I'm always intrigued on the kind of the chase for the best. Like, if the Patriots are the best in their conference and they can win the Super Bowl, that's great. I just need to know who's going to be the next team that's going to be able to have a run like this. Doesn't happen very often in the National Football League. It happens a lot in the NBA, of course, because of dynasties. But in the NFL, you don't get this. And so I appreciate Tom Brady for what I see. Because as a late 70s, 80s kid growing up watching John Elway and Joe Montana and Dan Fouts and Warren Moon and some of these great quarterbacks in the 80s, I didn't think we'd ever see anything better than Joe Montana or John Elway. Seriously. I mean, from a stat standpoint, if you really want to go to the granular stats of Tom Brady versus Joe Montana, Joe Montana has better numbers. Joe Montana's never thrown an interception in the Super Bowl. It's some interesting numbers there when you take a look at the difference between the two quarterbacks. As a matter of fact, right here, Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, 5-3, Joe Montana 4-0. Completion percentage, pretty close. Tom Brady at 65%, Joe Montana 68%. Touchdown interception ratio, Brady 18-5, Montana 11 touchdowns, 0 interception, took care of the football. Passer rating 98 for Tom Brady, 127.8 for Joe Montana. So actually, again, granular stats, you can make stats work for how you want to, but I didn't think we'd see anything better than Joe Montana or the guys like that from that era, the Elways, the Moons, and guys like that. But Tom Brady continues to prove that he can get into the big game, whether he wins it or not. He's the best. You can't get any better than this. Now, I always look at it from this standpoint, too, from the Rams standpoint. So where are the Rams going? It's not necessarily that there's no storylines or lack of buzz. It's that from how I feel, there is no magic to the Rams. There's no magic. It's not like the magic run for the Eagles where, hey, the Eagles haven't been there, and, you know, let's see what they can do. And there's this feeling that with a backup quarterback and maybe their back's against the wall, can the Eagles get this done? There was a magic feel to teams like that. The White Sox in 05 were a magical team. Not a great team. Magical for that time. You could tell when the Cubs won the World Series, I saw it that year, like in April, May. I was like, a little magic there. There's a little something there, a little bit different. Because when you watch sports for a long time, you kind of squint your eyes and you could actually see the magic. And with the Rams, I don't see that magic. It has nothing to do with their matchup against the Bears at all. It's because we're way past that. I just look at the Rams for Jared Goff being in this big spot and whether or not he can handle it or not against a Patriots team that you know that has gone through everything with a fine-tooth comb. All of it. They've gone through all of it. You know Belichick probably looked at that Bears game. Looked at trying to stop the running game of Anderson and Gurley. Trying to figure out how to slow down that offense. I just don't believe that the Rams have that magic. Looking at the two games they had in the playoffs against the Cowboys, impressive, no doubt. You have to be able to get there and get it done, and they did against the Cowboys. The Saints game, I won't say it's a fluke because I think that's unfair because there were some other plays on the field that were left by the Saints in which they could have won that ball game. But I know that everyone glorifies and magnifies that one play in which the official blew it, where the Saints may or may not be in this spot now in the Super Bowl. But I don't feel that there's magic. And so my pick is the Patriots winning the Super Bowl. And I also like, it's been up around 2.5, 3. I like the 3 points. I like the Patriots and the points. And I saw the over-under is 56.5. I probably wouldn't bet that. But if you're going to put all my feet to the fire, I'd probably say over. I'd probably say the over. Just to be on the safe side. But I really like the Patriots to win the game. I will always appreciate greatness as long as it's in front of me. I know it's odd that a guy that's north of 40 that's going to get done. But I made the parallel, and Davis didn't know I was going to go here with this, but I made the parallel. Which show was that? Tuesday's show. I made the parallel talking about Tom Brady and LeBron James. There is a similarity between the two. No, Tom Brady doesn't have clutch sports on his side. It's different. We'll get into the NBA in just a second. But there is a dichotomy between the two, it's very interesting to me. On one end, LeBron James will continue to play, hopefully until his older son is on the other side playing against him, which would be kind of cool to see the son and the father on the floor at the same time. He wants to continue to play at least another 4 or 5 years. But he, as long as he feels good and he has young players around him, maybe that's going to be Kyrie Irving, maybe that's going to be Anthony Davis, whoever, he's going to continue to play. You know he's not quite the same guy with the injury, LeBron James, but as long as he's healthy, he's got young players around him, it keeps him young. It keeps him in a championship situation. Tom Brady on the other side. Tom Brady is north of 40. You say, well, where is the deterioration? When is he going to stop being able to play this well? Tom Brady's got it easy. He's got an iron gate as an offensive line. He has underachievers as his receivers. He's got a tight end and Rob Gronkowski in and out because of injuries. But I think that the protection and the scheme keeps Tom Brady viable and young. So this is why he can continue to play. Look, I'm old enough to remember when there was 3 quarterbacks on the roster at the same time, all the time. Believe me, as a Bears fan, I saw the Bears try to take out all 3 quarterbacks. That happened. I believe it was the Lions, as a matter of fact. They took out 2 in one game. And then the backup was like the punter, and he was hiding behind the bench, didn't want to play. It's like in 84. Remember that as a kid. But the point is that Tom Brady's special. That's why he could play past 40. And so this is why I appreciate who they are. I mean, it's a championship-level ball club. They could win. Now, I'll say this before the game starts. If the Patriots lose on Sunday, and I'm wrong, and the Patriots have lost 2 straight in the Super Bowl era, now you got to keep kind of look at them with a side eye, and you say, okay, you can get there, but can you knock it down? Can you win another one? But I always say this, I'm never going to veer off of this, as long as you have that staircase effect of, okay, here we are as a team, we get to the playoffs, that's one step. Win a couple of games in the playoffs, that's another step. Get to the championship game, the Super Bowl, that's a step. Winning the Super Bowl, that's another step. As long as you're on the ladder, that's good. And the Patriots continue to be on the ladder. So that's my pick. Something else, too, along with this, though, that I think is fun is the prop bets. the prop bets are fun. So I'm going to give you, I got Eric and Sean on the other side of the glass here. So I'm going to give you some prop bets, guys, and you tell me what you like. All right, Sean, I'll start with you. Got your mic ready? I know it's a little squeaky.
Yep. All right. He's a WD-40 okay. before the show.
You always carry your bag, just in case. So, okay, Sean, you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. How long will it take Gladys Knight to sing the national anthem? So over, it's over 1 minute 47 seconds. That's 5 to 8. Under 147 is 6 to 5.
I wish I knew if she's going to have the pips on stage with it.
No pips.
No pips?
No, no pips.
No pips? Then I'll take the under.
See?
Because if it was the pips, you definitely would add choreography.
Eric?
It's sound logic out of Sean there. I'll go with under as well, because I believe the unders hit consistently lately in the last few years, so I'll stick with the trend as the gamblers do.
I don't do guarantees on this show. I don't even do locks of the week.
Right.
I don't even do that. But I will give you a lock that it will be under 147, because I saw Gladys, my wife was watching The Masked Singer. Is that show on Fox?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Horrible show.
That's what I've heard. I haven't watched an episode.
So it was revealed, and I think that I believe Gladys was under one of the masks or something like that. And she still got it now. She still does the casino tours. She still gets around. But the point is that I don't think she has the vocal gymnastics to have Home of the Brave to hit that note for 10 seconds.
See, that's why she needs the pips.
So that's why I
have some flavor.
So I would say the under 147. I think anytime you get an older act, I think it's going to be under. They just don't have the oxygen anymore, like me.
And they're more, they just want to get in and out. They just want to do their deed and then get their paycheck and go home.
How many plays will CBS analyst Tony Romo correctly predict before the snap, Eric? Over under seven and a half. You think the over under 7.5 correctly predict plays before the snap?
I wonder how they're going to preface this when, like, the Vegas, like, actually pays this out or not. Eight plays seems like a lot to predict. Whether is he just going to predict run to the left and then they run to the left and they have multiple options or not, I don't know. But eight to me seems like a lot, so I'll take that 7 and under. I'll go with the under.
Go the under. Sean?
I'm going to go with the under as well. I think his boss has probably talked to him, said this is the Super Bowl, let's chill a little bit on the call and the plays.
I think that he will go under as well. I think it's going to be more like 4, and I think that's a safe bet. It's some crazy ones.
These
are
so fun. Yeah, ridiculous.
Sean, the total for President Donald Trump tweets on February 3rd. The over is 6 minus 140. The under is even. Not Super Bowl tweets, just tweets in general on Super Bowl Sunday.
I'll go under. I'll sit at 5.
I think this is the bet of the week. That is over by a landslide.
Really?
I think he's going to have that many by the national anthem ending.
5 political, 1. If the Patriots win, he's got to send a tweet.
Yeah. I mean, he's friends with Robert Kraft, as we've seen, and Tom Brady.
If there's some, see, the thing is, there's always drama going on, so I don't know. Oh, wow.
I think he'll be spouting off because the attention in America is on the Super Bowl.
It could go either way. Like, if something happens during the game where someone's trying to make a statement, let's say a player makes a touchdown and does something to make a statement, then that might encourage him to tweet more than he probably would have.
I don't. The bet should have been how many President Trump tweets. About the game.
About football, yeah. Right. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I would take under 2. I would take the under if he said it at 2. I don't think he's going to tweet about anything except the winner. And if the Patriots don't win, I don't think he's going to tweet about them at all. That's what I think. I think it's going to be more political than anything else. Whatever's going on that day.
Yeah, because God knows.
So, whatever's going on that day, he's going to have something to say. It's so many good ones here. That's a weird one. Will CBS show Kent State versus Miami of Ohio highlights?
So that would be Kent State was McVay.
Yeah.
Who's Miami of Ohio then? Did he play against someone that's in this game at the time?
Don't know. I'm thinking so. So minus 175 is yes, and plus 135 is no.
And I think Belichick came through. Was that his first coaching job? in college or something like that?
So I would say no. Not in the game. Maybe in the pregame.
Okay, he played against Julian Edelman in that game. So I'm going to... They probably might pull that highlight. Sean McVay against Edelman.
Remember, go back to high school, right?
Just remember those guys. You had to look, Google it. I don't know.
That could be why it doesn't air, because I had to look it up.
Oh, yes.
Right.
Please look it up, because I don't do Google. I just do talk shows. So CBS... I think that it's not they're up on it. I think it's no, plus 135. Will Mark Wahlberg attend the game and leave early? I got to figure out now who's going to watch him for this.
Oh, there's cameras everywhere. You're telling me if you're the director of the camera crew, you're not saying Cameron Wahlberg all game?
Yes is plus 550. No is minus 1,000. The Patriots are losing big. I would say yes, plus 550.
He's absolutely going to be there, though. That's my one bet. Now, does he leave early?
I don't know.
I'm going to say yes. He wants to get to those parties after. One way or the other. Win or lose, he wants to get there.
Oh, man. Will any player be ejected for throwing a punch or fighting? Plus 700, yes. Minus 1,600, no. I will say no.
Yeah, that one is not worth betting because you have to put so much down to win.
Man, it is a ton here. You know what I asked? And by the way, we had Value Bet. That's on my Under the Hood podcast. If you download Under the Hood podcast, iTunes, SoundCloud, TuneIn app, I asked Joe Ostrowski. I asked him, I said, why don't we have more prop bets like non-Super Bowl? How come we don't have this in the playoffs? Is this not fun?
These so like Madison, my wife, is not a gambler. I barely bet on sports. She every Super Bowl we do like 10 prop bets together where we just do it on my account. She loves the prop bets.
Why don't we just do this in the playoffs?
I don't know why. This is a very good question.
Makes sense
to me.
There's
so much fun. Everyone loves them. So much talking points around it always. It would make sense for the NFL just to green light it.
I got one for you, Hood.
Go ahead.
Prop bet. Between the two teams. One player, over, under, how many pull a Eugene Robinson in Atlanta like he did with the Falcons of getting caught up?
Zero.
Zero?
I would take the under. No one's doing that. Not in these two teams. Patriots are too buttoned up.
Yeah.
CJ Anderson, that's a possibility.
I mean, with...
You can't see Gurley out with the Migos?
No, see, he's smart. No, I saw him on the shop, so I know he's a smart dude. With
LeBron.
Yeah. So I'm thinking that's not once in a lifetime, but that's not going to happen now. So I'm going to take the under there. It's some good ones. We'll get to some more a little bit later on because I'm still looking for more Tony Romo ones. Because it's some crazy ones here. As you're listening to Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Glad that you're with us. Oh, let's get to this other story here. The Kristaps Porzingis story coming across. This is from a number of people, Adrian Wojnarowski, Tim McMahon. The Dallas Mavericks have agreed to trade with the New York Knicks for all-star forward Kristaps Porzingis. The Knicks and Mavericks have scheduled a trade call with the league office to finalize the deal. Second-year point guard Dennis Smith Jr. is the centerpiece of the package being sent to New York. In addition, Wesley Matthews and DeAndre Jordan, who both have expiring contracts and could be buyout candidates, will go to the Knicks. The Knicks did call New Orleans about Anthony Davis, but the Pelicans weren't interested in Porzingis, who could be a restricted free agent this summer. Okay. So Porzingis is going to be a restricted free agent. Number, we know this. He's wanted out of New York, at least talked about it, at least two other times. 2 years ago, I remember at the end of the season, he was supposed to be there for the meetings with Phil Jackson and with the brass from the Knicks. And he was walking around Central Park or whatever. They didn't know where he was. He just came like 3 days later. He just didn't even want to be a part of it. And it's a head scratcher. The Knicks have not had a player like this, I don't think, in a lifetime. It's been a long time. As far as someone that they were, not via trade, not coming from free agency, but someone that they drafted and cultivated. He proved himself, but he's got an ACL injury. So I'm it's a head scratcher for me because Porzingis is going to make the max, I believe, or at least something close to the max. But yet he wants out now, but his brother is his agent. This is not a Rich Paul situation where Rich Paul is saying, I want my client out of here. this deal takes place, he's going to Dallas. I don't think that this is going to be somewhere he's going to be for the long haul. I don't know what Porzingis wants, but I just think it's kind of fascinating that there's a difference for him in the qualifying offer, you know, which is something that is offered to you after your rookie deal as a restricted free agent. Either you get the qualifying offer or you're going to get something like the Embiid deal. The Joel Embiid deal was not a max deal, but it was something very lucrative for him. And I just don't understand why this happens now. Why does it happen now? Now, here's the flip side of it. Here's the Bulls angle on this. You ready for this? Ready? The Bulls are in the NBA just like the Knicks. That's your Bulls angle. No, actually, the angle is this. Is that here's the difference between the Bulls and the Knicks in this regard. The Knicks now will have cap space, tons of cap space, to at least get two max players. Maybe one max player plus another really solid player, but they can get two max players if they continue to just move it out. Now, on the surface, if you're a Knicks fan, you're like, what the hell? Like, so you draft this guy and you are trading him for cap space. Here's the difference in the testicular fortitude of the Knicks and the testicular fortitude of the Bulls. As Chris Black tweeted on his page at Chris Black on Twitter, the Bulls are trying to do this whole thing where you're trying to build and you're trying to get and try to build through the draft. That's not the NBA. Not in 2019, it's not. Paxson Gar with that mom and pop shop. And the Knicks, at least they're rolling the dice and saying, you know what? We're all in for KD, something I've been talking about a lot on this program, on Kevin Durant. We're all in on Kyrie Irving. You got to get one of the two. If you don't get one of the two, New York will burn. If all you have with doing this is Tobias Harris, that's going to be a problem. That's going to be a problem. So, but I will give the Knicks credit. At least they're like, you know what? Porzingis, you don't want to be here. We're going to clear the cap space, and we're going to try our best to get a quality player. Not just middle of the road, not trying to build through the draft like the Bulls. We're going to try to find someone that can help us tomorrow. And maybe that's Kyrie Irving that's wants out at season's end. Maybe that is Kevin Durant, who seems, which is someone I just don't understand. Like, man, if I'm Kevin Durant, you can call me the second best player. You can call me the 100th best player. I'm staying with a championship team. I'm going to keep winning rings and locking my legacy. He doesn't see it that way, so I don't understand him. But if he goes to the Knicks, now you got something. But if it's just Tobias Harris, if it's someone in the middle, boy, that's a problem. But I will give the Knicks credit. Bulls won't do that. Bulls will never do that. And again, the common theme is that the Bulls would never do a deal like what just happened right here with the Knicks. They would never do a deal like this. It's risky. Knicks fans are mad right now because they love Porzingis. That was a guy that you build around. Now he's going to Dallas. Okay. It's an interesting story. I'll talk to Kendall Gill about that and more coming up next.
As I combine all the juice from the mind, heal up, wheel up, bring it back, come rewind.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000.
You're listening to Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Hit me up on Snapchat, Snapjay Hood, also on Instagram, IGJ Hood. We turn to a friend of the program, 15-year NBA veteran, also analyst for NBC Sports Chicago. For the Chicago Bulls, it is Kendall Gill, and he's with me, Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Hello, Kendall.
How you doing, Jay Hood? How's it going, man?
You know how's it going, man. The league. All I can tell you is just the league, man. You know... Kendall, this is interesting. You talk so much about the NBA and just the on the court, but you know the off the court and the drama that's attached to the NBA and the culture of it is so interesting to me. I don't know how you feel about it, but I just think the inner workings along with the basketball itself, it's all just one interesting sport for me.
Yeah, it is, because one, you there's not as many players as, like, say, for instance, an NFL team. You get to see the guys' faces. You get to interact with them as far as on social media. You'll have soap operas like the Jimmy Butler soap opera at the beginning of the season with the Minnesota Timberwolves. Now you have the Anthony Davis saga that's going on with LeBron James. You know, so I totally get what you're saying about how interesting it is, not only on the court but off the court as well.
It is compelling. I want to ask you about the latest story, though, and get your initial reaction to the Kristaps Porzingis thing. So Porzingis' agent is his brother. And for the last couple of years, Porzingis has hinted that, you know, maybe he wants out. I remember I was telling the story that I think it was a year or two ago that Porzingis was supposed to be there for his exit meeting with Steve Mills and Phil Jackson, and he just didn't show. I don't know what the disconnect with him and the Knicks are, but when you heard that he wanted out and then he was traded to the Mavericks today, what was your reaction?
I wasn't surprised because Kristaps has not wanted to be there for a while. You know, and him missing that exit meeting really told the tale of what was going on with him in the organization. You know, I thought that he was going to be a big star in New York. You know, the Knicks, the fan base loved him. The Knicks loved him, and before he had the ACL tear, was a definite MVP candidate and an All-Star. So, you know, I think that he might have given them, also the Knicks, an ultimatum, either trade me or I'll continue to sit out. Maybe that's what happened, because you normally don't see a player that's injured get traded like that. Normally he comes back for a little bit to try and work everything out, and then they trade him if they can't work it out after that.
I don't understand. Like, you have no leverage, though, in this spot, right? I mean, if this is you, and this is you and your agent trying to work this out, you have an ACL, and I guess you're just trying to prove to Dallas that you can play so you can get the max. But isn't Kristaps, even with the injury, he's going to get something close to the max, right? Because in this case, as a restricted free agent, is he not trying to bet on himself?
Yeah, he's betting on himself, you know, but if I was trying to get the money, I would have stayed with the Knicks because they already know what you can do. Right. You know, they've seen you in practice day after day. You were having a great season last year before the ACL tear. Now it seems like he's going to have to go on audition again, you know, in order to get the maximum money. We all know that he's going to get paid, but will he get as much as he could have gotten if he had stayed with the Knicks?
Kendall Gill with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Dallas will be able to offer Porzingis a five-year deal, $158.1 million, when he becomes a restricted free agent this offseason, assuming this trade happens, and it has calmed down because it's official now. Is he going to be with Dallas for the long haul? Because now I'm looking at the roster. We know that Dirk is on the, you know, definitely on the back nine, maybe a year left, and now it's about Doncic. Can you see Porzingis being there for the long haul? Is that the destination you want to be at?
I don't know whether that's the destination he wanted to be at, but I could see him there for the long haul. I mean, teaming up with Doncic, and you know, the Dallas organization is a great organization to play in. The fan base is great, and I think those two can play off each other great. You know, and so you know, he may have landed in the spot he wanted to be in, because I definitely know they didn't want to be in New York.
What was the perception of the Knicks when you played? And a reason why I'm asking you that question is because you see what the Knicks have done here. They have opened up so much cap space. It's about just under $71 million of cap space now that they moved Porzingis off the books. But what was the perception of the Knicks when you played, and what do you think it is now?
Oh, people loved to play for the Knicks. They wanted to play for the Knicks, you know, because that was back in the Pat Riley era. The Van Gundy era. So New York was the destination spot, you know, the number one market in the country. But now nobody really wants to go there, you know. And, you know, the former team that I played for, the New Jersey Nets, who are now the Brooklyn Nets, now I believe that franchise is more attractive to free agents rather than the New York Knicks. And you know, I never thought that I would see that day come.
Do you remember your first game at the Garden?
Oh, yeah. I remember my first game at the Garden. I mean, I was with the Charlotte Hornets. Mm-hmm. Played a playoff series against the New York Knicks there. And it was great. I mean, that's a storied building. I loved playing there. And, there's a reason why they say it's the most famous arena in the world. And, you know it when you go in there.
Yeah, it's something. So I guess the big question, Kendall, is, so what can we expect this offseason? You are right. This is not – New York has not been a destination for a long time. And they always talk about the attraction of being in New York, playing in Madison Square Garden, the world's most famous arena. But the team has been bad for so long. The organization has been bereft of quality in there for quite a long time. So I'm wondering, have you heard what I've heard, that there are some free agents that will be available here in the offseason? You know, the names are apparent. You know, the Kevin Durants, the Kawhi Leonards, the Kyrie Irvings, Kemba Walker. There's a number of guys that may look at New York and say, you know what, we can set up shop here. If there's cap room, we like the coach. We like Steve Mills. Do you think that some of these top free agents will look at New York and say, you know what, we can set up shop here?
Yeah, I think that's definitely a possibility. I think Kevin Durant is a possibility. Jimmy Butler, Kyrie Irving, Kemba Walker, of course, who's from that area. So there are a lot of possibilities. I would love to see that happen because I want to see parity in the league. You know, I don't think there's parity in the league right now because you have five all-stars really in the starting lineup for the Golden State Warriors. Nobody's going to beat them. You know, I'd like to see Kevin Durant perhaps go to New York, Jimmy Butler, Kawhi Leonard go to New York. And now we get to look forward to seeing who's really the best in the NBA, the East or the West. Because I think if you put any one of those players that I mentioned or any two of those players that I mentioned on the New York Knicks, then, you know, you have something that's really competitive. And also, I want to see Kevin Durant. And I know that he's won two championships with the Golden State Warriors, but really, does he feel like a champion? Because basically what he did, they went and put a turbocharger on a Ferrari that has 445 horsepower. So it's not really fair, you know. And I said this on air the other day, you know, will Kevin Durant's championships really measure up to the all-time great once he retires if he does not leave Golden State? I think that his championships don't, because he went and joined a team that really didn't need him to win championships. I think he needs to win one outside of Golden State in order to really say, okay, this guy is a true blue champion.
And maybe New York is that spot for him. I don't know. He's a brooding superstar. I love Kevin Durant, but he doesn't understand I love him. He doesn't get it because he's always pissed. I don't get it, man.
Sometimes he's a rebel without a cause. You know, I don't wonder if he used to watch James Dean back in the
day. Oh, yeah. That was on the TV on the South Side. There's no question. So I want to get your thoughts on the philosophy of the NBA, say, 10 years ago versus now. When you look at today's NBA, Kendall, is today's NBA based on some of these successful organizations about development of young players, or is it about trying to get as good and as fast as possible as far as free agency?
I think it's trying to get as good and as fast as possible with free agents. You know, the young players that you draft today, I'm gonna be honest with you, Jay Hood. I'm not really impressed with a lot of them. You look at the Chicago Bulls, okay, and we got a lot of young players on the team, but really a lot of them didn't stay in school enough. And it's not only for the Bulls, but for the whole league. A lot of them don't stay in school enough when they come out, yeah, you know, they dazzle you with their offensive moves and things like that. But most of them don't really know how to play the game. They really don't even really know how to run a fast break the correct way. Don't know how to help off of and help on the defensive end on the correct way. Don't know defensive rotations. And that's why free agency is the way to go, because you get players that can really play. I'm going to tell you one guy who we just acquired, Wayne Selden Jr.
Mm-hmm.
That guy can really play because he understands the game. He had 20 points, 8 assists last night, 4 rebounds. You should just look at the way that he runs the fast break. He runs it properly. He plays defense properly. That's why you try to build your team with trades and with free agency, because a lot of young players, if you continue to collect young players who's drafting everything, you know, sometimes you're going to be in, you're always going to be 2 years away from being 2 years away because they really don't know how to play. Nobody stays in college 3 or 4 years now to really get the fundamentals of the game right.
Yet you just can't be behind the times in that regard. I think that as you see teams and general managers and owners going to clutch sports or going to certain places trying to figure out who's the next superstar we can get, it's not necessarily about Zion. It's not about RJ. Not in the near future. It's really about the long view. Who can you get right now that can help me right now so that way I can have sustained success? And I don't see that enough with Chicago, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you for a lot of NBA teams. That is the case. I think with the Bulls, that is the way that they're going to build in the future, you know, through free agency, through right now keeping your young players, you know, because in 3 or 4 years, they're going to know how to play. You know, they're going to understand the different nuances of the game. But until then, I don't think that you'll really see a huge jump with the Bulls unless they go after and acquire a major free agent or two.
Yeah, that's something. I got to ask you about Anthony Davis because Davis wants to be traded. And again, we talked about this last couple of nights about Clutch Sports and his involvement with that. You can just tell that there's a link there between him wanting out and possibly playing with the Lakers. What was your thoughts on AD? I knew this was going to happen. I just didn't know it was going to happen in January.
I thought he did. I understand AD wanting to leave, okay, because he's a major talent, probably a top three player in the league, in my opinion. And if he stays with the New Orleans Pelicans, then he is not going to get the opportunity to win a championship. He doesn't want his talent to go to waste. Now, that being said, I think he played it the wrong way. I would not have given the New Orleans Pelicans an ultimatum and then said, listen, I want the only team I'm going to sign an extension with are the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, the Los Angeles Lakers, of course, with all those assets, really don't have to put together the best package to try to acquire Anthony Davis. And because he's been with the Pelicans for 7 seasons now, he was drafted by them. The one thing that you want to do, you don't want to leave your old girlfriend high and dry. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You just don't want to cut her off and say, you know, that's it. You actually want to leave on good terms. And what Anthony Davis should have done is said, listen, privately, not publicly, said, listen, I'm not going to resign with you guys. I don't see a championship in our future. But I don't want to leave you without anything. Try to work out a deal with the Los Angeles Lakers, and I'm going to try and get you the most possible for my services. If he had done that, then it would have been cool. But now, every time he goes into the arena, people are going to be looking like, hey, well, we're not good enough for Anthony Davis. And he's going to be miserable there with the fan base and with the organization until something happens.
What's up with the parlay? You're still breaking out boxing with T-Lo as you were just talking about Keith Thurman and Lopez and that fight. Yeah. That's always a good it's a YouTube page, the parlay, right?
Right, exactly, the parlay. You guys can catch it on YouTube. And our website is theparlay.com. And you can catch us on all the social media platforms, Facebook and Instagram. But what we do is we talk about boxing and combat sports. You know, boxing is my first love. And I decided to, with myself and T-Lo, it's his first love as well. We're really passionate about the sport, and we review all of the major fights. We give a pre-fight show, which is a prediction, and our post-fight analysis. So we've had a great time with it. With the Manny Pacquiao Adrian Broner fight, we did a post-fight video, and we got 33,000 views. So I mean, that's pretty good, man. It's pretty good.
Broner, my God, he is just a bootleg Mayweather wannabe. That's too bad. Broner, he's got all the flash, he got the great mic skills, boxing ability, but when it comes to big fight, Kendall, he just can't Can't do it, man. You'd rather beat up Jim Gray than actually win his own fight.
Jonathan Hood.
So pay attention to my word, because it's the true fruit. Meditation is the mind. It brings the youth. Yeah. It's like a verse you could never read out of a book. Dropping the line in your mind like a fish hook.
On ESPN 1000. Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Alex Brown will be with us coming up at 8:10, and we got Tales from the Hood at 8:30. Right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Coming up after SportsCenter, there's an old bear that wants to return. Wants to come back to the team. We'll get into that in just a moment. Speaking of old bears, remember Greg Olsen? Greg Olsen had a funny story about James Harrison on Golic and Wingo this morning. Listen.
Panthers tight end Greg Olsen is here. James Harrison one time in the middle of the game hit me so hard under the throat that I threw up in the middle of the play in my mouth, and I had to swallow it. Swear to God.
Dude,
I have some Coca-Cola for you. Swear to God.
Thank you.
He's a scary
back in Chicago.
Dude.
Oh, dude. He hit me square in the throat every time I hear his name. That's the first story that comes
to mind.
Acid in
reflux?
The middle of a block, not knowing whether to spit it out or just eat it.
Oh.
How's that? The NFL is glamorous.
Yes.
The NFL is very glamorous.
This is why he will be a future broadcast.
Oh, I'm serious.
Gosh,
that's a true story.
Good stuff. That's so weird. That's a good story, though. Oh, by the way, you cannot have a big event, national championship game, Super Bowl, unless you hear from Woo, the Nature Boy. He knows he's got to win.
World champion today because really you are here because you are one of the celebrity Rams fans that's here to see your team win the Vince Lombardi Trophy.
Well, I actually live here.
You're a Georgia resident.
I am a Ram fan because of Todd Gurley and Coach McVay, and I followed the Rams before you guys were born when Deacon Jones and the whole crew was there.
So
Lamar Lundy.
Okay, you were recruited by the University of Minnesota.
I was.
As a football player.
Mike
McGee, yes.
What position did you play?
I went as a linebacker, but after running a 5.940, I was an offensive guard after one practice.
So you told us you're a Rams fan, and you go way back.
We didn't run the 40 back in high school back then. Before you guys were born.
All of our celebrity guests this week, Rick, have to make their Super Bowl prediction. Ric Flair's Super Bowl prediction.
35-28 Rams.
Woo! Oh, you gave me the woo on that
one.
Oh my God, Ric Flair! He just jumps on any bandwagon that's available. He is the worst. And when I say he's the worst, he's the best. he just says, "I'm a Michigan fan. I am a Ram fan. I am a Bear fan." I'm like, what is going on? He's a fan of everybody, so he's going with the Rams. He's the Nature Boy. He's the only one. There's an old bear that wants to return next.
I tried to show him.
You're listening to my mans in them. Jay Hood.
Yep.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000.
I tried to show him.
In the ESPN app.
Yo. Gone on you with the pick and roll. Younger Flame here in sickle mode.
Oh, jeez.